morning, everybody. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, still the only saving name, for it is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So grateful that I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I'm so grateful that Jesus died for me upon the cross, just like he did for each and every one of you. If we can turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 48. Isaiah, chapter 48. We're going to begin reading there at verse number 1. It says, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the Lord God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldst say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will ye not declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your hand upon us today and for your presence in this place. I ask, God, that you would minister to every heart, every soul that is in this house, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, that you would unstop our ears to be able to hear what you have to say to the church this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you for just a little while this morning on what I have titled, It's New. Turn to somebody close to you and say, it's new. It's new. Turn to somebody else and say, it's new. I want to focus back to verse number 6 of Isaiah 48, which we just read. It says, "Thou hast heard, see all this, and will you not declare it?" Here he says, "I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them." You see, the things being declared and even preached to you may seem to be new. You may think to yourself, well, I've never heard that before. I've never been shown that before. I've never been told that, especially if you've attended any other type of church. You may have never heard that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. You may have never heard that you need the gift of the Holy Ghost to be saved, that you need to speak in other tongues for the evidence of that Holy Ghost. Because so many other beliefs and so many other churches, they just say, well, if once you've accepted Christ into your heart, you've received the Holy Ghost. Well, what does the Bible say? Other churches will say, well, when the ministers laid their hands on you, you've received the Holy Ghost. But what does the Bible say? Other churches will baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, invoking that formula over you when you are baptized. But again, what does the Bible say? We declare the truths out of the Bible, and we declare these truths, and they are spoken to you. And just like God said in Isaiah, he says, I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. We will declare things, we will preach things, we will teach things, and you'll say, well, I've never heard that before. Well, because it's new. It might be new to you today. When you cross over the threshold of the world in which we live and step foot into the spiritual realm, it is something new. It's not something that you see every day or something that you experienced, that you have experienced as you've gone about your daily life. You don't always walk in the spiritual realm. We don't live our lives in the spiritual realm. But it's in the spiritual realm that we find salvation. It's in that spiritual realm that God is able to come into a place and touch your life and change you and turn you around. You see, when I first came into the church and I was started being told about spiritual things, and I was told about the music that I listen to and the things that I read and how they will affect me spiritually, that was new. I'd never heard that before. I was never shown that before. I didn't realize that that was even possible or that could even happen. And it was a little while into my living for God, and then I got into a place at work where I was doing my best to listen to Christian music, uplifting music, things that were going to lift me up spiritually. And one day I was sitting in my office, or I had gone out of my office, and I was in our lunch area. And there was another employee that was working that just kind of had his desk kind of in our lunch area off in the corner. And I'm sitting there on my coffee break, and I'm having something to eat. And I started to feel agitated. I started to feel almost like an anger starting to come upon me. And I thought, where is this coming from? There's nothing that's trying to get into my, nobody's affecting me. Nobody's saying things to me to bring this anger into my life. And I wondered, where is this coming from? And then I realized that I could hear faintly the music that this employee was playing out of his computer. And I realized that the type of music he was playing was what was creating this agitation within me. It was building this anger within me. And I realized at that point in time that what I was shown, what I was being taught about the spiritual realm, it was true. That things are affecting us, things are impacting us in the spiritual realm that we can't see, that we can't combat by natural means. And I realized at that point it's very important about what I allow into my life. But at that time, it was new to me. I didn't realize how it affected me. You see, there is a power in the preached word. Right. A power that only comes from God himself. Through the preacher to your ears. Right. It is a power that can heal. Yeah. It's a power that can heal your body. Right. It's a power that can heal your spirit. And it's a power that can heal your mind, if you would allow it. You see, it's also a power that can destroy. A power that can destroy strongholds. A power that can destroy barriers. And a power that can destroy the prisons that we find ourselves in. Every one of us, from time to time, are bound by these spiritual strongholds that we can't see. We think, oh, I live in the world. Oh, I can do what I want. I can act how I want. I can be what I want. But all the while, we're bound by this prison that we don't see, that we don't realize is there until you try to get away from it. And then you fight against it, and you push against those strongholds, and you push against those barriers, and you talk to people that maybe in the world that are smokers, and they try to quit smoking, and they can't seem to get it. They'll quit for a few weeks, and then they go back to it, and they'll quit for a while, and they'll go back to it. They'll try the patch. They'll try the gum. They'll try all of these different means to stop smoking, but then when they give their lives to God, when they come into a church service sometimes, and the Word of God goes out, and they don't realize that that Word of God is getting into their heart, and suddenly they realize that, I got to quit this habit, and they put their trust in God, and they give their faith to God, and God touches them, and from that moment, they throw those cigarettes away, and they say, I don't need that anymore, because in that time, it has set them free. Right. They didn't see it come forth. But there's a power in that spiritual realm. There's a power in the preached word that if you allow it, can change your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's new. You see, when you've stepped into a church service, when you've crossed through those doors, and people begin to gather and pray, then the music starts, and a worship and an admiration for God begin to escape the lips of those gathered in this place. It is then that you transition from the physical world into the spiritual world. You see, we don't physically transition and go anywhere. We're all still here. But as we come together and as we begin to pray and as we begin to lift our voices, and as we begin to sing those songs, as I talked about last Sunday morning, we lift up our voices to God. It's a worship to God. It's an admiration to God. It's then that we get God's attention. And God says, "I want to come into that place. I want to come into where those people are because they love me and they're praising me and they're lifting me up and they're worshiping me." And in that moment, your heart becomes open and your spirit is available to receive what God has for you in that service. And we transition and we invite God's Spirit into this place. And I know that it's kind of an oxymoron. I know that God is everywhere. When you go to the grocery store, God is with you. When you're at home, God is with you. When you're alone, God is with you. When you're in a crowd, God is with you. But I believe that there is a special touch, there's a special anointing, there is a special Spirit of God that comes in when you begin to lift up His name, when people gather together and they pray, when people gather together and they worship Him, where two or three are gathered together, the Bible says that He is in the midst. It doesn't mean that He's not there with you when you call on His name, when you need Him at your home, and when you need Him on the road, or when you need Him wherever you are, He is there. But it's a special anointing. It's a special spirit that comes into the place when we gather together and we worship Him and we lift Him up. And in that moment when we come together, it's a different atmosphere. Because suddenly His Spirit comes in. And He begins to move around the room and He begins to touch those that are looking to be touched by Him. You see, Psalm 22 and 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." When we begin to praise Him, He comes in because He inhabits those praises. It comes back to the same thing about prayer. If you have an issue with somebody, you're supposed to pray for them. But you know what? Your prayers don't change them. Those prayers change you. When we lift up God, when we magnify His name, when we begin to give Him glory and honor, we're not changing Him, we're changing us. Because when we begin to do that, then He says, "There's somebody that's calling on me. There's somebody that's lifting me up." And He comes in and He inhabits those praises, and it acts like a conduit where He can just come on right down and into your heart to make a difference inside of you. Well, I've never heard that before. It's new. It might be new, but it works. You see, there's many times there are things being brought out through the Word of God, but you did not hear. See, the first part of verse number 8 of Isaiah 48 that we read earlier says, "Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened." A lot of times when we come into a church service and we begin to hear things that are different than what we've heard before, when we begin to hear things that are new to us, we, in essence, sit there with our hands over our ears. I don't want to hear that. My ears are stopped. My ears are not open to receive what the Lord wants to say to you. But he's asking you to unstop your ears. He's asking you to, for you to allow him to speak to you, to move in you, and to change you. Have you ever tried, done or tried anything new in your life? It's not comfortable. But the biggest changes in your life occur when you step away from what's comfortable, right, and when an opportunity comes that you try something new, that you step out, that you reach out, that you attempt something that you've never done before and say, I want to grow and I want to change and I want to be something else. For me, in my life, the biggest changes I've had in my life outside of God were something that took me way, way outside of my comfort zone. When I was, I think I was about 24 years old, I grew up, we lived for about 3 years out at Cheseket, out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody around. Our neighbors, our closest neighbors were like 20 miles away. My brother and I did homeschooling during that period. We had no friends, no real contact with anybody else. And then we moved back into town. When we moved back into town, I kind of enjoyed being out in the middle of nowhere, around nobody. So when I came back to town, I was not comfortable around people anymore. I didn't want to be around people. I had a few friends, but I was shy. I was quiet. Get me in front of a few people that I didn't know, and I couldn't talk to them. I didn't want to talk to them. I wasn't comfortable talking to them. It's interesting because when I think back to my high school years, and I think about the fact that I know that I had to give oral reports from time to time, I don't remember a single one, because I believe that it was traumatizing to me because I was not comfortable doing it, and that it affected me so badly that I don't remember giving any, even though I know I did. So I get to a place, I'm 24 years old, and I'm working at Caribou GM, and my employer comes to me and says, hey, Dale Carnegie course is coming to town, and we'd like to send you. It's about public speaking, and I thought, well, that's not something I'm comfortable with. But it was an opportunity for me to grow. It was an opportunity for me to change. So I said, okay, I'll do it. About a half a dozen of us from work, we were all going to be doing it together. I thought, it's not going to be so bad because I'm going to know a bunch of the people in there. And then they had an open house for people that were interested in taking it but didn't know what it was about. And I went to this open house, and I thought, I just want to go see what it is that I'm getting myself into. And I went in there, and I got there a little bit late, so I'm sitting kind of towards the back, and looking around, there's about 60, 70 people in this room. And the guy's doing his whole spiel about what's going to happen and all of this and what he's going to be teaching on and how it's going to change your life. And then he says, I'm going to walk through, I'm going to pick out 10 of you. And then I want you 10, when I get back up to the front, I'll call you up. I want the 10 of you to come up front. I want you to tell your name, where you work, what you're hoping to get out of this, whatever it was that he wanted the people to say. And I thought, 70 some here, people here, there's no way that he's going to pick me. So he gets down and he goes, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you. And he's walking down the center aisle, and here I am at the back, and he points to me, and he says, and I want you. The moment he pointed his finger at me, my heart began to race. My ears began to burn. My mouth instantly went dry. And I thought, I can't go up there. I don't know these people here. I cannot get up in front of these people and say anything. I'm gonna look like a fool when I go up there and not be able to speak. And he walked back up to the front, and he says, the 10 of you that I picked out of the crowd, none of you have to move. You don't have to do anything tonight. He says, but I guarantee that by the time, if you take this program, by the time we are done, it was a 15 to 16 week program, the feeling that you're feeling right now you will not have. And I thought to myself, if you can get rid of what I just experienced, I'm in. I'm all in. And I went to the first meeting, and that's exactly what we had to do. We had to get up in front of everybody and say a few things. And it was uncomfortable, like painfully uncomfortable for me to get up in front of people and be able to do that. But it was something new. Stepping out. Going outside of what makes you comfortable to say, I want to change. I want to be different than I am right now. I don't want to feel that feeling that I'm feeling right now. And I'm talking right now about anxiety of talking in front of people. But you might have anxiety being around crowds. You might have a peace that never comes to your life when you lay your head down at night. You may be dealing with things from your past and you don't know how to get past it. Maybe you need to try something new. Maybe you need to step outside of your comfort zone and say, I'm going to allow God in. I'm going to allow him to change my life. I'm going to allow him to affect me like he's never done before. Right. From Dale Carnegie, I went into acting. Again, I wasn't really wanting to do it, but it was something new. I wasn't comfortable at the beginning, but I did it, and it began to change me. And then I came to a place in my life when God began to speak to me, and God began to move in me, and God led me to a church service. Using my wife as that conduit to bring me into a church. I'd already been thinking that I needed to go to church. I didn't know where to go. And when the first time I came into church, it was new. It was different. I had never experienced it before. I was never around people praying out loud. I was never around those speaking in tongues. I thought it was strange. But it was all new to me. And a lot of times, we find that new does seem strange. Sometimes the doctrine that's preached seems strange. But then we go to the authority. It seems strange because there's not a lot of people preaching out of this today. It seems strange because a lot of people are corrupting this today. It seems strange because this is polluted in a lot of other areas. But when it comes from the Word of God, new might be strange, but it's still true. And a lot of times we are afraid of strange, just like we're afraid of many other things when it comes to something new. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of what people are going to think about us. We're afraid of rejection or maybe ridicule. And a lot of times, we're afraid of failure. And then we become imprisoned by those fears. And then we become comfortable in that prison. And we never experience anything new. Because I'm comfortable. This is what I know. Try changing jobs. A lot of times we stay in a job that we don't like because we're comfortable. This is what I know. It's going to be different if I step out and try something new. It's going to be uncomfortable to go do something new. But there's freedom in doing something new. We've been hearing a fair bit out of Ecclesiastes over the last few weeks. In the last part of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 9, says that there is no new thing under the sun. Revelation chapter 1 and 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, when it comes to the things of God, there is nothing new. Nothing has changed the Word of God. Nothing has changed who God is. God was the I Am of Moses' time. He is the I Am of Jesus' time. And he is the I Am of our future. He's the same always. He doesn't change. He is not new. But it's new sometimes to our ears. It is new sometimes to our spirit. It is new sometimes to our lives when we're called to make that change. When that word comes forth and it begins to speak to us and begins to move in us, it is new. Because it's new when you don't know him. See, Acts chapter 19, we find after Paul's conversion and he's going out and he's reaching to win souls, he's going out to teach people, he's reaching out for the Gentiles. He comes along to some people. In Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." You see, to those at Ephesus, they were disciples. They were disciples of John. They had been following after John's teachings and after what John had told them. And they were going their way believing that they were saved. They were going along believing that they had the truth. They were going along believing that they had it all together. And then Paul comes along. He says, "Well, have you guys received the Holy Ghost?" Well, this is new. We don't even know if there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, how were you baptized? How were we baptized under John's baptism? So Paul comes along and says, that's not the right way. That was the way that John taught. That was the right way from John. But things it's evolved from there. You need more now. You need to do these other steps. This is what Jesus taught. Because even John, in his teachings, they said, well, we were to believe on the one that would come after him. I don't know where these people were that they didn't know if they were John's disciples, that they didn't know who Jesus was and didn't know what Jesus had taught. But when Paul came along and explained it to them, they received it. This is new. But he showed it to them. And then they said that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we already were baptized. Well, you need to be baptized again. And when he laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. It was new to them. But even though it was new to them, they didn't hesitate to obey. Many of us have been a long time living our own way before we come to God. And we weren't getting anywhere. Nothing was happening. We were going around like a fish in a bowl. We spend weeks, days, and years just stuck in a rut. And we became comfortable. Then somebody comes along and says, well, why don't you try God? Why don't you try coming to church with me? Well, because it's something new. I might have to change. It's not going to be comfortable. Turning to God will make you new. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse number 26, says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." A new heart, a new spirit, a new life. But we get comfortable living in that fishbowl. We get comfortable living in the way we've been going, even though nothing's improving, even though nothing's getting better. And somebody says, I've got a better way for you, but it's uncomfortable. I've got a different way for you to go, but it's uncomfortable. I've got something new for you to try, but it's uncomfortable. Uncomfortable brings change. And a lot of times, something new and something uncomfortable is the only way you're going to get that change. You see, Paul explained this new life to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse number 17. Says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, something new. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Something new. And that you put on the new man. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24 that we just read says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And comfort sets in that corruption. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Let your mind be made new. Changing the way you're thinking, changing where you're going. And verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a conscious decision that you need to make to put on the new man. It's a conscious decision when you come into a church service that says, I need something from you today, God. It's a conscious decision for us to lift our voices in prayer to God. It's a conscious decision that we make as we begin to worship Him, as we lift our voices to Him in song. It's a conscious decision to say that I need something different than what I've been experiencing all the rest of my life. I need something new. I need change. I need something to be different. Because there's times we get into that rut where we think I need something new. But every morning we get up, we do the same thing. When we go to work, we do the same thing. When we come home, we do the same thing. When we go to bed at night, we do the same thing. And then we wonder, why is nothing changing? Why is nothing getting better? Because you have to make a decision to say, I want new. I want that something that God has for my life. I want to be changed. I want to get out of this fishbowl. I want to get out of these ruts. I want that freedom that only God can offer me. And you say, I get up in the morning and say, I'm going to put on the new man. I'm not putting on the old man today. I'm not putting on what I used to do. And I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to maybe pray a little bit to God and ask him to walk with me today. And I'm going to take an opportunity throughout my day to remind myself of who I'm serving. I'm going to talk to him again and ask him to be with me throughout my day. And when I get home, you know, I'm going to open my Bible a little bit and maybe read a few verses or a couple of chapters to put that word into my heart. I'm going to try something new. And then when the church doors are open, I'm going to be there. Because it's an opportunity for God to speak to me. I don't want to come into a church service with my ears stopped, not wanting to hear. I want to come into a church service saying, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to change me. I want you to show me something new today. As we stand together today and as Sister Wilson comes, you see, it may be uncomfortable for you to step out in faith. You may have to face your fears. I don't like change, but I'm going to try. I don't like ridicule. Nobody's going to ridicule you. If you're crying out to God, I don't care if it's in the middle of preaching. If you feel like crying out to God, cry out to God. If you like getting up and running the aisles, run the aisles. There's times when God will speak to you and ask you to do something in faith. Well, I've never done that before. What do you want me to do, God? I remember a song service when we were still over at the funeral home. Middle of songs, voice comes into my head, I want you to go and pray for somebody else. Now? Pre-service prayer is over. We're not at altar call yet. Go pray for that individual. They need prayer right now. Middle of songs, I walked over, started praying for my brother. He starts crying out to God. Suddenly the Holy Ghost starts moving. People start moving around the church. People are going around praying for one another. The service took off. Because it was something new. A little while later, I'd been in church services at camp different times. People are running the aisles. I had felt that before from time to time. It's like Pastor says, you get into that place and in the middle, even in the middle of songs, it's you lifting up your hands, doing whatever, then you get that voice that comes along and says, run the aisles. Suddenly your hands come down. Nope, I'm anchored right here. I'm not moving. I'm going to look silly running the aisles. Never done it before. We were in a service in Quesnel and God said, run the aisles. Okay, God, here I go. You know, everybody in that service, they started laughing and pointing at me. No, they didn't. Nobody was laughing. Nobody was pointing. In fact, people got out and joined me. And again, people started running the aisle. Suddenly there was freedom in that service because I stepped out in something new. And I know that God has been speaking to people in this place through our church services, and people have been sitting there, God moving upon them, and they're sitting there going, it's new. It's not comfortable. I don't want to do that. I urge you today to step outside of your comfort zone. Step out in faith and trust God. Face those fears of change and do something new. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Even though it may be new to trust in God, his yoke is easy. The peace that you've been seeking is something new. The joy that you have been missing might be something new, but it's available for you here today. Maybe God has been urging you to be baptized in Jesus' name. Something new. Maybe God has been speaking to you and saying, just lift up your hands and I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's something new. It's available. And God is in this place today. Step out in faith. Yoke yourself with Jesus. And experience something new. This altar is open. I urge you to come to the front. And again, I'm going to ask. If you need something, that's great. Talk to Jesus about it. If you're filled up, if you're ready to go, find somebody to pray with, please, today. By stepping out in faith, sometimes when you just go and pray for somebody else, you can experience something new. Because God is that's what God's asking you to do. You need to honor it, and God will give you something new. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. You are faithful.